You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
It is here. No, I'm not talking about Cale Benson commenting on Anthony Davis and the Pelicans. That's here as well. I'm talking about Wild Card Weekend, the NFL playoffs. Jay Hargrave start this weekend. Who you got? Who you want? That's the simple question of the day. Saints are off. They'll be watching, as we will as well. Pels take on Cleveland. The next time they get on the court, I believe that's tomorrow. So we got some time, a little bit about that as well. Jay Hargrave probably will fire somebody at some point today. And more importantly, we'll have a little bit of fun. Right after Jay, if you notice, I've yet to turn your mic up. Because I don't want 2019 to start off with any interruption on the great Rebecca Black.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
There you go. Rafael Esparza, nice coat today, classed it up, his appearance on the Sports Hangover. He was down the street at Harris talking to a bunch of gamers.
You just said the great Rebecca Black.
The great Rebecca Black.
How long have you been drunk since New Year's?
No, I'm pretty good.
How many bottles have you polished off in 1 week?
Jordan Intern can attest, I have sweet tea, you have water.
Water.
Wow. Didn't go with the soda today.
Haven't had soda since the new year.
Jordan's all in. By the way, he's part of the Who Loses 10 Pounds First.
Wait, there's a bet?
Family is, yes. $50 gift card of choice and gloating. Whoever loses the most.
Well, gloating's the most important
first
thing.
First to 10 points. Jay Hargrave, a little whiskey and Coke this morning, it looks like, huh?
Negative, sir. Don't drink.
I know you don't, but I mean, that's...
Just some Coca-Cola.
Going off of last Friday, the way things went, I was
got the feeling it's going to be the same way today.
Oh, come on. I mean, you know, if you missed last Friday's show, first off, shame on you. Secondly, Jay Hargrave had no faith, no confidence in your New Orleans Saints. And then following the game on
Sunday, that.
I have texts from Rafael and Jay and Jordan. And there's a lot of Jays in here. Anyway, I want to say you were even more concerned, apparently, on Monday because you, for some reason, extrapolated importance in something out of that game on Sunday when really the only thing of importance was how many people get out of there healthy or not. I mean, that was, to me, the only importance, but have at it. I haven't spoken to you since then. Why are you concerned following Sunday's preseason game?
I never said anything after that game that says I was more concerned than before.
I have the text.
The text said, yeah. I haven't seen the game. I've got it taped. I want to see what Bridgewater looks like when I'm off on Wednesday.
Right.
I was not any more concerned after that game because that was a preseason game. I don't get concerned about preseason games.
Okay.
A game in which our defense basically said the goal is not to get hurt.
Yes.
And they play like it.
That's it.
That's
exactly.
End of story.
Yeah, you can get hurt tackling, so let's not tackle.
Yeah, so okay. See you later. Live to fight another
day.
You know,
if I really have to try to cover really well and plant, I can spread an ankle there. Let's just, I'll just
grab
the jersey. Yeah, exactly.
Good luck. You know, enjoy, have a good touchdown celebration.
We're going to hear from quarterback Drew Brees, Sean Payton, a couple of players here as well from this week's locker room sounding. And they practiced on Wednesday and Thursday, Jay. And head coach Sean Payton said that the goal was to really focus on themselves. And the thing about that is fundamentals. And what specifically, as we then get into our guest this morning and this afternoon, but what specifically do you think the Saints had to? We'll do that next segment. But focus-wise, when it comes to specifics and when it comes to fundamentals.
As far as what they need to do in the playoffs.
Yes.
I think they've got to get back to basics, Gus. They've got to get back to running the football. I think there's a little bit of a misconception. People always say it's a team that runs the football and plays good defense that wins the game. There's a third part of that. That is true. You have to run the football. You have to play good defense. But you also have to have a quarterback that can convert those third downs. That's where the Saints have a huge advantage with Drew Brees. you can run the ball twice and be stuck in a third and five. If you've got Mitch Trubisky coming in off the bench trying to pick up a third and five, or Drew Brees trying to pick up a third and five, you'd much rather have a Drew Brees. But I think the Saints have to kind of deviate from what they've been doing all year. They've been pass heavy. Last year, this team ran the ball and ran the ball, and we all kept saying, man, Sean's turned the page. Sean finally realizes he doesn't need Drew throwing the ball 40 times a game. But for some reason, we've kind of reverted back to that this year in throwing the football. Right. I want to see Mark Ingram. I want to see Alvin Kamara. Right. Hell, Washington looked good Sunday. He gave some good runs. Get back to running the football. You're going to protect that secondary that people seem to have some concerns about all of a sudden. You're going to protect that defense. They're going to be fresher because they're not playing as many plays. Get back to running the football, and I think this team's going to have a lot of success.
Yeah, look, I think one of the things, as your guest list today, a fun one, I think we're going to have an interesting show, kind of get a sense and feel on Wild Card Weekend as well. In a matter of minutes, we'll speak with Ben Baldwin, covers the Seahawks, so we'll speak with him about what's going on in Seattle. At 12:30, of course, Raphael is already here. Nancy Lieberman's coming up at 1:45. Jay Hargrave, it's almost like it's orchestrated, huh? Yesterday, did you notice on the jump? Rachel Nichols, Chauncey Billups talking about Anthony Davis's breaking point. What's Anthony Davis's breaking point, right? How about that? And then just after that, did you see the NBC Sports article? Lead NBA writer.
I did not see
for
that.
NBC Sports. You didn't?
No.
You know what? I'll copy and paste the link for you so you can read it at your leisure. As the headline is, How the Pelicans Failed Anthony Davis. How the Pelicans Failed Anthony Davis, from Tom Haberstroth of NBC Sports. The interesting part of it, it's a really good piece. I suggest you read it. And we'll get into it and its specifics. But he says, what if I told you? It's almost like a 30 for 30. What if I told you, right?
Okay.
30 for 30 voice. What if I told you that in 2012 in the lottery when the Pelicans won it and got Anthony Davis, that 20 other teams would have more wins than New Orleans Pelicans? What if I told you that Charlotte, which, remember, Pels were the
right.
Charlotte Hornets. What if I told you that Charlotte would have a better winning percentage than the Pelicans and have the same playoff appearances than your Pelicans without a guy like Anthony Davis? Basically, what I'm getting at is that piece just went whoosh, right to the face of management and how this franchise has been run. And shockingly, it's all coming one right after another. It's almost like that. It's a lengthy piece. That was not written in 5 minutes. So is it orchestrated? You know? I don't know.
Here's the thing I have a problem with.
Yeah.
Why is it always the player's fault and it's always management's fault? When are we going to put the blame, I know I have over the past couple years, on Alvin Gentry? At what point, Gus, are we going to stop giving this guy a pass?
There it is. Raphael is pointing to his watch, so it's time. You're saying it's time.
I'm
to
back
do that as well.
The Reaper is back.
No doubt, with vengeance. All right, Wild Card Weekend is upon us. Colts and Texans. Tomorrow's the first game, followed by the Seahawks and Cowboys. To talk a little bit about Seattle, as that game's at 7:15 on Fox AT&T Stadium. Mr. Ben Baldwin joins us from The Athletic in Seattle, at Ben Baldwin. It's the way to follow him over on Twitter. Ben, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is a great time of the year for the NFL, so happy to talk about the playoffs starting tomorrow.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Look, I'll tell you this from the New Orleans standpoint over here. A couple weeks ago, it was, a lot of the Bears were a little fearful, and I kind of get the sense and feeling to a lot of Saints fans, they want no part of Seattle. And, you know, there's still some memories that Saints fans can't get rid of. But, man, the Seahawks have really turned it up at the late part of the season here. What's been the big difference the last quarter of the season for Seattle as opposed to the early quarter of the season?
Yeah, so in the early part of the season, they really kind of struggled at everything. Russell Wilson wasn't super efficient. They weren't running the ball very frequently or very effectively. And over the last couple of months, that's really turned around. They had primetime victories over the Vikings, and then probably their signature win of the season was over the Chiefs. The big caveat to all this is that all of their big victories were at home this year, and they're not they're almost certainly not going to get any home playoff games. So if you're the Saints, you've got to like that all they need to do to get to the Super Bowl is win two home games.
One of the things that I, you know, again, you just remember Seattle of old and those postseason runs, run game, defense, and, you know, Russell Wilson being able to make plays at quarterback. That's almost the same formula now, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of it is, you know, as long as Russell Wilson's there, they're going to have an efficient offense. Their defense has taken a bit of a step back this year, and a lot of that is just because of personnel. They lost Richard Sherman and Michael Bennett, Cam Chancellor over the offseason, and then Earl Thomas got hurt midseason. So they're, if you look at their like defensive points per drive or these kind of more advanced measures allowed, they're definitely not what we think of when we think of the Seattle Seahawks defense. And they're it's kind of weird when we're thinking about the Seahawks, but the one thing that stands out is their passing efficiency and Russell Wilson, and that's kind of different than the older Seahawks teams that went to the Super Bowl.
Ben, Jay Hargrave here. Earlier you brought up the point that the Seahawks, most of their big wins have been at home. What has been the issue with them being on the road? Is the 12th man that important to this team, or is there some other reason why Seattle doesn't seem to play as well on the road as they do at home?
I think it's definitely, to some extent, Seattle does have a real home field advantage that is perhaps larger than some places, although that's definitely true of the Saints as well. In general, home field advantage in the NFL is a pretty big deal. If we look at the past few seasons in the playoffs, the teams that reach the Super Bowl are the ones that get first-round buys and get to play their games at home. So having the three consecutive games on the road, it's a hard road for the Super Bowl. I can see why other teams wouldn't be super excited to play the Seahawks, but it's such a different prospect having to play the Seahawks at home versus on the road.
I call it the Twilight Zone, Ben, and I mean that affectionately for you folks over there. I mean, no, it is. It's the Twilight Zone. I mean, people forget to block, to catch. I mean, there's flags everywhere. The Seahawks defense can do no wrong. I mean, it's you know what I'm talking about. You see it happen. Speak with Ben Baldwin of The Athletic. At Ben Baldwin's the way to follow over on Twitter. Because I go to, like, that Chiefs game. You know, to me, the two impressive wins towards the end of the season there, I thought you won a physical game there against Minnesota. You can see how that Seattle team can win a game like that. That's low scoring. And then here comes the Chiefs with their offense and Mahomes and doing that, and they could win that game as well. I think that's probably one of the reasons I'm like, hey, that's a team's going to be dangerous to try to beat in the playoffs.
Yeah, they definitely can win both ways. If they play a team like the Rams or the Saints in the playoffs, then they are going to have to score a bunch of points like they did against the Chiefs. And the problem is that if you look at the NFC teams in the playoffs, their defenses are a lot better than the Chiefs' defense. So the Rams and the Saints, the two teams with byes, they have decent to good defenses. We all know about the Bears, and we all saw that Cowboys-Saints game. So all the NFC teams have defenses that can slow other teams down. So for the Seahawks, it'll be a question of whether they can score enough points to keep up with some of these really high-powered offenses.
All right, so Saturday evening in Dallas, it's a two-point game favored-wise. Vegas has the Cowboys just by two there. When you look at this matchup here, how do you see it? Do you see it as a low-scoring game? What are some of the keys? What should Saints fans be paying attention to?
Yeah, I definitely see a low-scoring game. These teams played earlier this year, and it was a pretty ugly game. Seattle was able to score points, and it was basically because they got a couple Earl Thomas interceptions, which is obviously not going to happen again. Mm-hmm. And then they hit what was a long touchdown pass to Tyler Lockett. So the Seahawks are going to have to hope that they can get that again, some turnover generation, and hitting some key third downs, because they're going to want to run the ball so much on first and second down, which is true for the Cowboys as well. The biggest changes from when these teams first played each other was Seattle had Earl Thomas, which they don't anymore, and then this was before Dallas traded for Amari Cooper.
Right.
It's a pretty big swing on both sides, and Seattle's secondary is really going to be tested in a way they weren't in that game in Seattle. And in that game earlier, it just felt like the Cowboys had zero chance of scoring points in that game, and the Seahawks weren't really threatened. But now the game's in Dallas. They have Amari Cooper, so it'll definitely be a different challenge than it was early in the season.
Ben, how are the Seahawks health-wise? Are they down any regulars, or are they pretty healthy right now?
Other than Earl Thomas, who's out for the season, they're pretty much a clean bill of health, which is different than the Cowboys. They're still dealing with some injuries on the offensive line, so that'll be something else to watch, is whether the Seahawks are able to get to Dak Prescott.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think I'm with you. I see a game that is going to be decided late in that fourth quarter. And then I guess why I'm probably leaning Seattle, Ben, it's just quarterback. I think at the end of the day, Russell
makes the plays.
Can make more plays than Dak, or maybe that one key play. I don't know. I they're very similar in their styles, but I think, you know, obviously the experience and I don't know. I'm just kind of going in that direction. Both guys, though, both offenses, you look at it, similar style of passing games. You mentioned Cooper as maybe being the big difference. Are we not giving the Seattle passing game enough credit?
Yeah, I think the teams are pretty similar. They both have one premier pass rusher in Frank Clark for Seattle, DeMarcus Lawrence for Dallas. Mm-hmm. They're probably similar talent level, but Seattle does have the quarterback advantage, and then Dallas has the home field advantage. So the Vegas line has it pretty close to a 50-50 game, and I think it's reasonable. One bounce of the ball could decide the game. One missed tackle by Seattle secondary and a long Amari Cooper touchdown could decide the game. I think it's pretty close, and if you want to go with the better quarterback in the Seahawks, then I think that's totally reasonable.
There it is. Ben Baldwin, appreciate your time this afternoon for joining us here in New Orleans. Enjoy the playoff game, and next year, the Twilight Zone, Saints at Seattle, which I'm already saying that will be a primetime game of some sort, man. It is. It's the Twilight Zone, man. I'll say this, Ben. I was on the Saints sideline, part of their broadcast team, when the Saints went there, either 07, 08. I think it was 07, and it might have been the Thursday night game or Sunday night game. Either way, it was the loudest I had to turn my IFB up, louder than I've ever had to in the Dome. That's just a very real home field advantage. It just honestly is. We've spoken to Robert Meacham, who does the show with us, the former Saints receiver. He says it gets in the players' heads. Once one thing starts to snowball, they get frazzled. So it really is, man. That place is the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, it's quite, especially for an outdoor stadium, how loud it gets is
crazy.
Pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
And from the time the quarterback breaks the huddle, then the noise is just there all the time. Mm-hmm. I went to the Seahawks at Saints game in 2016, which was in New Orleans, and that's a loud stadium too. I was pretty amazed by how much my ears were ringing after that. So New Orleans for a home playoff game, I can imagine that's quite an environment as well.
Well, no doubt, man. Enjoy the game. Thanks for your time today, Ben.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. Ben Baldwin of The Athletic, Seattle. At Ben Baldwin's the way to follow him over on Twitter. Jay, I'm serious, man. That's next year's road schedule, right? I think it's Chicago again. It's the Rams. And it's also Seattle, I think is what I saw on there.
And I think we've got the West, don't we? The NFC West. Mm-hmm. Don't be surprised the 49ers don't put it back together when they get Jimmy Garoppolo back.
It'll be interesting to see there as well. All right, so we got plenty to get into. Thanks to Ben for chiming in on that. Coming up later, we'll also visit with, of course, what's going on over in Philly with Daniel Gallen. And Nancy Lieberman should be fun at 1:45. Did you watch her?
Yes, I did see it.
Post-game after Wednesday loss to the Nets?
I want to applaud her when she comes on.
I mean, that's just one of those. You just sat back and your head just nodded. Yep.
She nailed it.
Yep.
She's 100% right.
He just made it basically seem like they hung out in Times Square up until tip-off. I mean, you know what?
But I don't know if it was just that game,
right?
Because I just don't see effort on the defensive end.
Yeah.
I don't see any effort.
We can talk a little bit more about that already. As people, Jay, already chiming in on social media in that opening segment before we went to Ben about you firing people, join the intern.
Someone said that, Jay, don't you have a job to be,
running
be working?
The man, yeah.
Yeah, running the restaurant. And then someone else said, It only took Jay 8 minutes.
8 minutes
to fire somebody.
He's lucky it only took eight. It should have taken four.
I was going to say, I'm a little surprised following that Nets loss. You didn't lead off. I'm surprised you didn't interrupt Rebecca Black to say.
You had my mic cut off.
Or reached over to turn his mic on.
I did have your mic cut off. Sports Hangover continues next. What?
That's your pork chop. I told y'all y'all were going to be trying the pork chop.
Oh, my goodness.
So y'all are gonna have to try this and let me know.
It's like how,
yes, I do have another job.
That thing is huge.
It is.
That
I told
huge.
You. It's a slab of meat.
Hour one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring the King 504-909-KING. That is the way to see what the guys can do over there. Jason and company, Brian, Anthony, they'll take care of you. It's a free consultation call. Feel free to stop on by. 800-998-1003 is the way to chime in as well. Let's talk a little football playoffs when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover Live at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap, 132 Royal Street on ESPN New Orleans.
Hi, I'm Jason Giles with the King Firm.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
Oh, yeah, for over 65 years, Golden Motors has been your local Chevy Buick new car dealer. I'm sure you've seen us around supporting our local schools, charities, and organizations. That's just our way to say thanks to all of you for being there for us at Golden Motors. Looking for a new Chevy or Buick? Or looking for that new or pre-owned any make and model? Give us a call at 325-1000 or visit us on the World Wide Web at goldenmotors.com. Golden Motors, Chevy, find new roads.
Home IQ from Vision Communications is smarter security and home automation. From your smartphone, tablet, or PC, activate and monitor your security system, lock and unlock your doors, view and record video, control your thermostat and lights, all on one easy-to-use app and website. With Vision's Home IQ, home is where your handheld is. Visit viscom.net/homeIQ to learn more. Louisiana license F1256.
Hi, I'm Lindy LaRue with Donlin Construction. Are you thinking about starting a new project? Well, if you have an idea, we'll make it happen. Donlin Construction, a state licensed contractor, offers many services from site work, concrete paving and foundations, to customized office buildings and warehouses. Whatever service you require, Donlin Construction will make it happen. Just call 985-798-7788. Donlin Construction.
Accidents and injuries can put your life on the sideline.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Wow. Jay Hardgrave. Wow.
At least Jordan's digging
wow.
in.
Wow. That's unbelievable. So, you got the slab of pork chop here.
It's thick.
All right, to share between all of us.
I wanted y'all to try it because I know okay. you'd never order it until you've tried it.
And before we could even get going here, what just happened to our right?
I'm imagining Jordan got busy.
Jordan the intern just sliced off a piece of pork chop and it's gone.
Didn't take long.
It's good to know that the intern.
Should I slow my roll?
I mean, maybe I should have gotten the first piece, or maybe we cut it in half, or nope. Yes, he just ate it. I mean, look at this.
He didn't eat the whole thing. He ate a piece.
But it's, yeah, exactly.
To your wife,
so you were talking about
ridiculous.
Insurance.
My wife thinks it's ridiculous.
You're talking about car insurance.
No, she
insurance.
Thinks you're ridiculous.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Why?
Because you're overreacting.
It's a little piece. I bet if we served it to you like that, you wouldn't even
try
know
a piece.
Hey,
you didn't even wait.
Try a piece.
Try a piece.
I'm on the air.
I'll cover for you.
Jordan, the intern, 800-998-1003. Our thanks to Ben Baldwin here coming up in a little bit. For joining us. Thank you for doing that. Coming up a little bit, Nancy Lieberman is what I was going to say. All right, so you wanted to fire already. Sorry. I guess what I was getting at in the opening segment about the article that was on NBC Sports. is, do you think it's, I want to say orchestrated, but it is kind of funny how it's story after story after story now, right? I mean, the headline on The Jump yesterday was Anthony Davis's breaking point. I mean, I played the bite yesterday, which to me was just, it was just so funny hearing the, you know, Brooklyn reporter, the New York reporter. Did you hear this? A member of the media staff for the Pelicans had to say next question because the questions were coming up about, well, just listen.
They came 14th in the West. 15th in conference. At what point do you say to yourself, I don't want to play on a team that's 14th in? I mean, you're
next question.
You played on Team USA. You played on outstanding teams.
A member of the PR staff. Let's go. Next question. Next question. You heard AD lowly say, I don't. That's an I don't think about it. But the question, right? I mean, that's a question you just don't get in New Orleans.
No.
At what point do you decide I don't want to play for a team that's 14th in the West, followed by, well, you've played on some amazing teams. You played on the Olympics. I mean, my man's comparing the Pelicans to the Olympics. But here it is. I mean, the guy for NBC Sports puts this out there, right? I mean, he writes the following. Despite the occasional gripe that Davis is injury prone, he'd play more games. He's saying, if you told NBA fans back in 2012, this is what he's saying, right? If you go back to 2012 and you tell NBA fans in the future this, and this is what I'm getting at. Despite the fact that Davis is injury prone, he says that he would play more games over the next 7 seasons than other superstars. Get this. This was surprising to me. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, DeMarcus Cousins, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin. AD's played more games. And he says, don't stop there. Tell those NBA fans that Charlotte, coming off the worst season ever, would select Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, and he'd become a solid role player who, by 2018, would be a full-time reserve. Now ask them, knowing all of that, which team through 2018 would have a better record? Imagine their faces when you tell them Charlotte, not New Orleans, is the correct answer. Since 2012's lottery, Charlotte has gone 235 and 293. That's a 44% winning percentage, 44.5. per Basketball Reference, and reached the playoffs twice. The Pelicans have gone 235 and 295, .443, since lucking into Anthony Davis. They've reached the playoffs the same number of times and gotten past the first round once. Charlotte is one of 20 teams with a better record than New Orleans since he entered the league. Then he goes into the question is why. That's an indictment. I mean, that, and here's the problem that I have. Just reading that paragraph, right? Larry Holder sat down and had apparently a one-on-one with Gail Benson. And it's real interesting in that interview, okay, Will Guillory, who covers the Pell Street Athletic, says in that interview she talks about certain things with the Pelicans, such as people may stop booing Alvin Gentry if he started smiling more. Then she says, even the Pelicans at the beginning of the season, this is part of the story, in her quote, she says, now they're not doing so great, but I think we just need to give them a little bit more time. I think they're young, and we're going to invest more money and get the big players and do everything we can to keep Anthony Davis here. I really like what we have in place. I really like Anthony, but if he wants to leave, you can't hold him back. But I always keep in touch with people that we lose, like Benjamin Watson. And then she goes on to say, when he left, I kept in touch. With all due respect, that's just somebody who's either been convinced at everything as well, or just doesn't understand that the NBA and the NFL are two different animals, right? It's two completely different ways it's run. And you just can't throw money at the situation. It has to be the right moves, the right personnel. And it almost comes across a little naive. And again, I'm not being disrespectful, but, you know, to sit there and say, hey, I like what we have in play. I mean, they're the number one store right now in the NBA because of their futility.
Yes.
They're not the number one store in the NBA because they're doing well. They're the number one story, and people are talking about Anthony Davis because they're playing so poorly. Because
they're the most disappointing team in the NBA.
So But to hear, because I've been saying, right? I've been saying, where is the owner? I want to hear how she feels. And she flat out says, I really like what we have in place. I don't know how you can say that with literally, I just read you an NBC Sports piece that came out yesterday afternoon that basically says your franchise, it's headlined, How the Pelicans Failed Anthony Davis. That's the headline. You understand what I'm getting at? When that's the headline to a column.
So let me ask you a question. Is Drew Holiday a legitimate number two in the NBA? Is he
like,
a legitimate
like
number two?
Guard?
No, a number two option like LeBron had Dwayne Wade was his two. LeBron was the one, Wade was the two, Bosh was the three.
Look,
is he a legitimate number two?
When you look at the playoffs last year against Portland, I absolutely think
yes, he is.
Yeah.
Is Julius Randle a legitimate number three?
I absolutely think so. I think he's a solid piece.
So we've got a solid three. Now,
yeah.
I'll give you Mirotić, who could be considered at least a four, maybe even a three, and Payton, same way, maybe a four, maybe a three, have been injured, but your base main three have been healthy. This is the exact reason why I'm saying Alvin Gentry has to go. He's got the talent. He's not utilizing it. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you saw Anthony Davis receive an alley-oop pass?
Well, it happened Wednesday, like once.
Maybe.
Well, again, okay. I hear what you're saying, and I'm not saying that it's not part of the issue, part of the problem.
Because we're all sitting on the three-point line with our hands up.
Okay. That said, your guy, Jordan the intern, your
Okafor.
Favorite. Yeah, Jahlil Okafor.
Jahlil.
Right? Yes, who you called a championship move.
Well, when he plays, it's a completely different team.
Well, that's the thing. When he's asked, and again, Wednesday, he didn't see the floor.
Right.
Okay.
And our starters were gassed.
Now, when you hear Gentry talk about why he doesn't play, he essentially says without saying it's because he doesn't fit the system. Right? Scott Kushner came on yesterday and said, they don't trust him defensively. Well, the whole team doesn't play him. So I'm with you. What I'm getting at is this. And Scott mentioned this yesterday on the show, that he believes that there's some turmoil and conflict, right? I believe, and this goes back a year or two, Gentry, the GM gives you the players, right? And it's the coach's job is to try to do whatever you can out of those players. And this is what I keep saying, though. In the Gentry era that he's been here, right, you hired him to run the Golden State offense. Right after he gets here, two of your shooters, and Gordon and, you know, Ryan, they leave to go to Houston. So now you're not that, right? Then while you're trying to get that to go, let's bring in a big and Boogie Cousins. Let's get rid of a shooter and Buddy Hield. I mean, get what I'm getting at? It's like,
I get what you're getting at.
My point is, if you can't use your bench, because he said Wednesday, Gentry, that he felt keeping the starters on the floor was what they needed in order to beat the bench of the Nets, because he didn't have a bench. Well, whose job is it to get the bench? Whose job is it to get you players that you can use then? Because if your coach feels that you can't use Gentry or Okafor, then that's a problem, because the GM is getting you players you can't use. Or is it the GM saying, you got to use your players? I got to hit the break, and then I'll get your answer. Because you get what I'm getting at? There's
right.
conflict there.
No, I get it. There's conflict. But Gentry's like, got to take control of the situation.
It would be like Sean Payton wants receivers, and Mickey Loomis keeps giving him running backs. You understand what I'm getting at?
Yeah, but if you got Peyton Manning as your quarterback, you don't try to run a triple option. Well, That's what Gentry's doing. I don't have shooters, but we're going to jack threes all night.
I think it's a multi-tiered problem. It's not just the coach.
But I could solve it.
Because when they run their offense, it works. And they play, they were.
Whose job is it to make them run the offense?
You got to have the point guard, man, who hasn't played for 2 months until last week. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Even in my own home, I had my own designated space to smoke. If I think about it, it really was like I was punishing myself. A friend of mine said, why wouldn't you just try the Juul? And so I went out and I bought one. The idea of going back to smoking, I couldn't even imagine doing that. I don't think anyone, including myself, thought that I could switch.
Carolyn made the switch October 2016. Make the switch at JUUL.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for the only $5 meal worthy of your appetite? Wendy's Giant Junior Bacon Cheeseburger Meal. Our classic Junior Bacon Cheeseburger is now bigger, with double the fresh never frozen beef and double the apple with smoked bacon. There's nothing junior about it except the price. Wendy's Giant Junior Bacon Cheeseburger Meal comes with nuggets, fries, and a drink for just $5. Get the $5 Giant Junior Bacon Cheeseburger Meal at Wendy's. Giant meal, junior price.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada.
It's time for some straight talk. I'm ready for it. You want the best coverage, right?
Of course. Don't want the QB throwing any deep bombs.
I'm talking about coverage on your smartphone, Wingo.
Oh, I get you now. I want the best nationwide coverage then.
Well, you'll get it with Straight Talk. The same great 4G LTE networks as the big guys for up to 30% less.
Man, you got to grab that deal and run with it.
Take it to the house.
With nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks, get the Straight Talk $45 unlimited plan with 15 gigs of high-speed data. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Imagining a better bank starts with looking at the savings rates most banks offer and saying, really? Capital One is building something better. You can open a Capital One savings account with one of the nation's best savings rates from anywhere, like here,
or here,
or here. One of the nation's best savings rates. Opened online, at a Capital One location, or from anywhere. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Offered by Capital One NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
It's Golic and Wingo.
Clay Matthews, shoulder in the gut, wrap around the waist with the right arm, wrap around the back of the upper leg with the left arm, and keeps his feet moving. A perfect tackle. And then tips to drop the quarterback and then lays his hand out to not land on him. I am stunned the league is doubling down on this. There has to be a group of people at the NFL who have decided about this rule and then looked at this play and said it was wrong. And to those people, I say this. I never like pulling the if you didn't play ball card. I don't like doing that. But if you never played meaningful football and you look at that and say it was wrong, you don't know. For those who are part of the NFL and looked at this play and said it was wrong and did play meaningful football, you should be embarrassed that you put pads on in meaningful football games and looked at that play and said this is now outlawed in the NFL. That to me is embarrassing. I would teach that tackle to an 8-year-old any stinking day of the week.
Golic and Wingo, weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the sports hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Tyler on Twitter says, bring out the demolition team. It's time to rebuild the whole thing when it comes to the Pelicans. The West Bank Hoodat says the Pelicans have the pieces but no bench. Again, who's responsible for giving you the bench? Who's responsible for bringing in those players and signing those players? So, again, it's a multi-tiered problem when it comes to it. At VSI Doc Sports is the way to follow Rafael Esparza. We're going to get into Wild Card Weekend. But your thoughts on this, the loss at the Nets, you're watching the game, you're seeing it, the career high in rebounds, the points in that media market. I mean, that's the snapshot game. I knew it. It was going to be the catalyst for the people that have been waiting all season for that one game that you go, aha, see, AD can't win there. That's what it was. 55-5, the bench is outscored. He sets career highs in rebound. It's the narrative of he's doing all he can, right? I mean, that's there it is.
When you needed a bucket, where was AD at? He's at the three-point line.
Thank you.
Why are you at the three-point line?
Thank you.
You've been waiting all day just to say thank you.
Is that. He's tall, right, Anthony Davis?
Last time I checked, yeah, last time I saw him, a
couple weeks ago,
you don't think he should be shooting threes?
No. Not as many threes.
Well, you have Mr. Zero Doubt in Golden State just launching threes over there. Boogie. It's January. When's Boogie coming back? Where's Boogie?
Golden State's got banners that they hang. Pelicans got Smoothie King banners hanging.
I don't even
Phoenix know. Pelicans.
You're seeing the stories come out more and more now. You're seeing all these other things. So is it – I don't know. What your thoughts on really what you're seeing? I mean, is it fixable? I mean, because the players keep thinking, hey, we've done this before. We've done it in the past. We can do this again. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, you're not showing me – it's been 6 weeks, Scott Kushner said yesterday. 6 weeks since they've won back-to-back games. Six weeks. Think about that. 6 weeks of the NBA season.
That's crazy. I didn't realize that.
Seven times they've had an opportunity to win after a win, and they lost. since then. So in 6 weeks, it's just incredible. 6 weeks since you've won two in a row. You can't move up in the standings if you win one, lose one.
And you've talked about the depth in the draft coming up. You're in a position where you can't trade that number one pick to get a person, because who knows, maybe you get lucky and you win the lottery and you're able to get one of the top players.
That's why Pelican fans, Anthony Davis will be wearing those nice Mardi Gras jerseys all through March. He's not going anywhere this year. If he does get moved, we've talked about this before, why would you move him now for less pieces when you can get the best pieces after this season?
Quickly, let's go to the phone lines here. JC wants to chime in, and then Rafael will talk a little wild card weekend here as well. JC, what you got, bud?
All right, let's talk about this Pelican situation real fast. I'm a season ticket holder, been a season ticket holder for a while.
Okay.
And I'm fed up with this garbage, because the problem is not Anthony Davis. The problem isn't even the players. It is exactly what you just said. It's the scheme. And yet we decide that We're gonna give Gentry an extension. We keep him around. He is the problem, the singular problem. Now, Drew Holiday's having a turnover problem this year. I get it. And we've had problems with injuries. I get that too. But again, when we're running the scheme that we have and it's not working, and we continue to stick with a subpar coach who is well below 500 in his entire coaching career, and we keep making excuses for him, that is a problem with the organization. I say it now. I've said it before. You lose Anthony Davis, you might as well ship this organization out of town, because there's not going to be any reason to go sit in those seats, especially after you passed up on Van Gundy and you had other options and you kept Gentry around and let him drive this franchise continually into the ground.
JC, I mean, you're sounding like a lot of the Pels fans from yesterday. We had just phone calls for, you know, hours on this. And there's frustration. That's why. So how do you feel when you see Gale Benson and Larry Holder's piece today say, I think they're young. We're going to invest more money and get the players to do everything we can to keep Anthony Davis here. I really like what we have in place. I really like Anthony, but if he wants to leave, you can't hold them back.
Well, the problem is, there is a, we have a, I guess it's a double-edged sword. We are overly loyal as a franchise, and this goes for both the Saints and the Pelicans. We're overly loyal. We will hold on to things until we can absolutely not do it anymore. And really, that's a problem we have as New Orleans people to begin with. But as an ownership, I don't know if Gale really has the ability to make those calls. Where a lot of those calls come from, and we know it. We know it from what this organization has done in the past, is Mickey Loomis. Dale Demps is really the fall guy in most situations. His hands are tied
right, more
often than not. But they do want to hold on to all these pieces, and they say Gentry's not the problem. Look at what happened when we played Golden State in the playoffs last year, and Steve Kerr laughed at the fact that Alvin Gentry was the coach, and he's like, yeah, you could tell he's thinking, I don't know why anybody thinks this guy's a good head coach. He's a bench assistant. He's not even worth it. And when you're sitting on the sidelines at a Pelicans game, how often do you see Alvin Gentry address the team? You don't. His assistants do it. He'll draw up something, show it to an assistant coach, and they'll relay it to a team. That tells me there's a problem with the communication between them, and it's obvious. It's obvious when you're sitting at the game.
All right, JC, thank you for the phone call. Season ticket holder, JC, voicing his opinion. Appreciate the phone call, man. Have a good weekend. He's frustrated, Rafael.
He's 100% right, though.
Yeah. I wanted to see how many people were sitting around him if he just took a seat, because I was at the game, their last home game, and there was a lot of empty seats.
Let me ask you this. We got to hit the break, and then we'll come back, and we'll focus on all football in the next segment here as well. But we'll keep the phone lines open the rest of the show if you want to keep continuing to voice this. Because, again, that NBC Sports article, it's pretty telling, man. 20 teams have better records, have more wins in the league after that lottery draft, and you have arguably one of the top five players. That's, and I don't, like I said, I don't know how you feel today if you're a Pels fan and you see, quote, from Gale Benson, they're not playing well right now. I'm sorry. They're not doing so great, but I think we just need to give them a little bit more time.
How much time do you need?
Like I said,
Kemba Walker has more wins than Anthony Davis.
Quick point.
Like I said, I'm not being disrespectful. That's just, Gale, somebody's feeding you something.
Quick point. This team was 4-0 to start the season with Alfred Payton. Mm-hmm. They were taking the ball to the goal like no one in the NBA. Right. Alfred Payton's been back a couple of games and they're not doing it anymore. You saw the difference last night when you watched San Antonio play and you watched those guys attack on defense. If they were mismatched and they got picked off, they were busting their you-know-whats to get to the next guy. We're walking and taking our time like, oh, well, he's got to open 25-footer. What chances does he have of burying that? Boom, it's down. There's no effort on this team. It's like they're just walking through the motions.
I said on the TV show, on Eric Asher's TV show 2 weeks ago, I said, you know what I would do? Like, again, just fantasy world, right? But if you wanted to show, hey, you're all about winning, I don't think you could ever probably even do it, but fantasy world. I call Popovich's agent, open checkbook, franchise is yours. If you want to coach for a year or two and then you tell me who you hire, GM, head of basketball ops, you make all the decisions. It's yours. Now, again, would he ever do that? I don't know, but I almost think that this is what needs to happen with that organization. And especially when I see the comments from the owner. They need a basketball person to run the basketball team.
But do you have a big cloud? Even if Anthony Davis came out and said, I'm going to be here all year, you still have that cloud of what is his status? No head coaching job is going to want to come here knowing that he could
walk. That was my next question I was going to ask you. Your job is to come up with odds and things of that nature, right? Is there a coach out there that could keep AD here?
I would think the only one that might be Coach K. Or
Calipari.
Maybe Krzyzewski too. I think those two. He has high respect.
The two I would agree with.
I wonder if Kentucky doesn't go deep this year. Cause, you know, hadn't been the same. I think you're going to have to do something like that where it's like, hey, run the team, GM.
It's worth a phone call.
Basketball ops, you know. Cause right now, again, I'm not being disrespectful.
Right now he walks it. And if right now is July 1st, he's walking.
I agree with you.
Could I blame him? I mean, my owner just said, we just need a little bit more time. Wow. Okay. They're 14th in the West. And as Scott Kushner said yesterday, they were never that low last year when they made the playoffs. They're in danger of not making the playoffs the way they're playing
right
now.
They're not making the
playoffs.
Sports
Hangover continues next. Rafael Wildcard Weekend.
Las Vegas Pelicans.
Oh,
easy sailor.
When we come back on ESPN New Orleans.
Hi, I'm Jason Giles with the King Firm.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
As a leader in sanitation for the oil and gas industry, Joe's Septic Contractors caters to all field clients offering vacuum truck service for the offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Joe's Septic Contractors offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings. Call Joe's Septic Contractors today at 985-632-5592 or visit our website at www.joeseptic.com.
Fleet Supply Warehouse has been providing the highest quality name brand batteries from AC Delco. Batteries for marine, car, truck, SUV, RV, ATV, motorcycle, golf cart, and dry cell batteries. They have Baldwin filters and more. Fleet Supply has your belt supply needs, including automotive, lawn equipment, agriculture, marine, and industrial. They have one of the largest belt selections and inventory in South Louisiana, located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, or call 985-868-0430 or check them out on Facebook.
Lady of the Sea After Hours Clinic has moved to the new Lady of the Sea Cutoff Clinic, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano. The same After Hours staff will continue to see patients from 5 to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends with no appointment necessary. Now the convenience of a walk-in clinic with a pharmacy at the same location is available for our community. Same provider in a new environment. Lady of the Sea After Hours Clinic, here when you need us.
Accidents and injuries can put your life on the sideline. In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
Oh, big talker, eh?
Man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
You know, during primetime games, we've seen New Orleans lead in the ratings in terms of most cities that most watch the games and stuff. Just judging from my wife and her crew, I mean, everybody here is going to be, they pay, who do we want the Saints to play? Who don't? I think there's going to be a lot of viewership on these wild card games. Obviously, you want to know what your opponent is going to be here as well. So, Rafael,
hey, don't give her any credit. She didn't know who was playing first. Don't give her any credit.
This is a discussion I have every day.
He's got to go home.
It'll be like Sunday. She's like, who the Saints play today? I'm like, you realize I host a sports talk show. You understand that, right? And then she comes back. She goes, you realize I work and don't listen to you. She's right.
Sometimes my wife doesn't even know my name.
When she says she doesn't listen to you, does that mean the show or just in general?
Probably both.
That's what I thought.
Probably both. Colts and Texans, Saturday is the first game, 3:35, ESPN ABC. The line is Texans 1.5. Dude, I'm with – it is, right? I mean, you start with the quarterbacks in this and Luck and Watson. And it's who's going to be the best. I think this could be a tight game. It could be a scoring game, even though their defenses with the Texans are, that's kind of what they're known for. I want to say Texans, man, but why am I leaning Colts?
Everyone's taking the Colts. This is probably the biggest decision game right now. Last time I checked before I got out to go to the Harris for the gaming summit and in here. Wise guys all over the Colts and Andrew Luck early. Got some Houston money back the last couple 24 hours, but I can guarantee you the books will need Houston as the home, as a very, very small home favorite. And that's what I don't understand. I like Houston just because of the defense of Watt. I think it's going to be a defensive battle. Everyone thinks it could be high scoring, but I'm leaning towards Houston.
Houston 6-2 at home, Indianapolis 4-4 away.
Where do you think this line's going to go? Do you think it's as low as it's going to be? It's minus
one. It's probably
going
to teeter totter because last time I checked, it was up to 65% of the action coming in at Indy. Last time I checked, it was around close to 54, 55%.
So it could go off picket.
Yeah, so I don't think it'll move that much. I think it'll stay either or.
Frank Reich, one of the coaches that's being talked about as a possible coach of the year, the job that he's done with the Colts, I mean, because they started like 0-4, 0-3, yeah, something like that, and, you know, to make it to the postseason and then play, I mean, Luck looks good out there.
Yeah, MVP, not Drew Brees, MVP, Colts offensive line.
Wow.
I mean, that offensive line, we made fun of Andrew Luck for years that he was always on his back,
yeah,
back and sacked all the time. This year, his offensive line is the reason why they're in the position they're at right now.
All right, so who you like?
I'm going to go Texans. Even though I love the story of Andrew Luck with all his shoulder injuries,
yeah,
I'll be rooting them in my heart, but I think the Texans defense, I think Watt has a big game.
Seahawks and Cowboys at the 7:15 game. This is the interesting one, right? I think Saints fans want revenge, so they feel they want Dallas.
Yeah.
Seattle is playing really good football, but as I was kind of mentioning even to Ben Baldwin, who joined us top of the hour, who covers the Seahawks for the Athletic, I'm like, it's the twilight zone in Seattle. I mean, they're a different team in Seattle. You have evidence that suggests they are a different team on the road.
They lost the 49ers to a pornless star quarterback.
Well,
that was not even in the game.
I mean, again, you're talking about Nick Mullins here.
26 points they gave up to the 49ers.
Only excellence happens out of Southern Miss. I'm just letting you know.
What was Dallas' home record this year?
Dallas' home record, 7-1.
Where are they playing that Sunday?
In Arlington.
I like the Cowboys, and I think this game right here is going to have the most points scored. I think it's going to
really
be a shootout. I think Zeke's going to be able to run the ball early, and that's going to lead up the passing game in the second half. And I think Prescott and the wide receiving crew will expose them. And I think you're going to see a big, big, big offensive game.
Sunday, when you look at the games, you got Chargers and Ravens to lead things off. CBS at noon. Baltimore 2.5-point favorite. Are you surprised Baltimore is favored?
A little bit, but I think it's an overreaction what Baltimore did to the Chargers. The first time they played, in the blink of an eye, it seemed like it was yesterday when
right.
These two teams. I like the Chargers. I think the road team wins this one. I think Phillip Rivers has a much, much better game than he did. Because now the Chargers have film of what the Ravens are going to probably run closely on offense, which they really didn't have that much with Jackson being the quarterback last. I think Chargers squeak it out a road victory.
Jay Hargrave, the Saints 7-1 on the road this season. Chargers 7-1 on the road this season.
It's a dangerous team. I'm starting to see a lot of people picking San Diego to make it to the Super Bowl.
Los Angeles.
Same thing.
I don't think they're going to make it to the Super Bowl. I mean, first of all, because Rivers would be broke taking all his kids to go to the Super Bowl.
That's true. Could he get enough tickets?
Yeah, could he get enough tickets? Mm-hmm. But no, I don't think they go. I think they just win this game.
Here's the other thing, too. Just 54 degrees. partly sunny skies. It's not snow, not bitter cold or anything. And look, I could see the charge. Again, 71 on a road. When you lose just once on the road, you're doing things right. You're doing things that can travel and can go win games. So
You just talked weather. Read me that report in Chicago.
Well, Chicago, 46 degrees, partly sunny skies. Eagles and Bears, that's a 3:40 kickoff over there at Soldier Field. Eagles 4-4 away. Bears, 7-1 at home.
You guys been saying you don't want to play Seattle. No one wants to play Seattle. I don't want to play. If you're the Saints fan, you don't want to play the Bears.
Really?
The Bears asked Minnesota.
I don't want to play the Eagles.
I watched a whole bunch of tape after what the Vikings, what happened to them, and they said that defense was just ugly. They said they were kneeing them in the gut and the groin. They were just
really?
Late yes. hitting without the refs hitting. That's how
that's
Bears
football.
Are going to win games.
Late hitting
the Bears
after
will,
refs.
The Bears will sack Drew Brees and then go for his kids. I mean, that's what the Bears want to do. The Bears don't care about the late penalty hits in the first quarter. They just want to tell you, hey, we're here for four quarters. Trubisky, just don't do anything like Trent Dilfer did when he won the Super Bowl with the Ravens.
Right.
Our defense is going to be here. I don't. If you're anybody in the NFC, Rams, Saints, I don't want to play the Bears. You're hoping the Eagles win.
I get it, what you're saying with the Bears
defense.
Do
you think they go to L.A. and win?
Was it?
The Bears. You think the Bears can go to L.A. and win?
That's probably going to be. I think they can. I don't think they will. I think it's going to be Rams, Saints, and
I think they can go to Rams. I'm not sure they can get past the Eagles. Look, I get it. They've got a tough defense. But I would much rather play Mitch Trubisky than Nick Foles. This Eagle team, I don't care what anybody says, is better with Nick Foles at quarterback than they are with
Carson
Wentz.
Their offense is better. Their defense is not better like it was last year.
No. But I'm saying if I've got a choice between Mitch Trubisky going up against him or Nick Foles, and look, the Eagles know they can do it. They've already done it last year. The Bears don't know they can do it. They think they can. That's a big difference. I'm scared to death of this Eagles team. I think they get on a roll, and everybody you listen to has already moved the Bears on. When a team keeps hearing that, they come flying out the gates.
Bettors have been all over the Eagles since
really?
We posted. Yeah, the bettors, wise guys, all over Eagles. Eagles money line opened up around 6. Bet all the way up to high to 6.5. We thought we had to move it to 7 on Tuesday, then finally got some Bears money coming in. Bettors all over the Eagles.
Wow.
All right, so you just kind of mentioned it. Who do you that you don't want to the Saints to have to come and play at some point? Who do you think would be the best matchup for the divisional round for the Saints? And three possible matchups.
I still think the Saints are in Atlanta. I think they win the NFC. It's outstanding value. You can still get almost 2-1 for them to win the NFC championship. I think Borovaj, I think had plus 250 last time I checked. I think that's a steal. I mean, cause now Drew Brees is indoor all through the playoffs. And then him and the Saints can walk to Atlanta to go to the Super Bowl.
Right.
It doesn't matter who they play. I still think they're going to be there as the NFC championship.
So you think they face in a divisional round?
I still think it's going to be Rams and Saints. I mean, the viewers will love that. The media would love that if it's the Rams Saints that win the NFC championship.
Who you got coming out the AFC?
That's a toss up. I still think the AFC is so tossed up right now. I couldn't tell you. Sometimes I think it's the KC. I think it's
depends on the day.
Yeah.
All right. Rafael Esparza.
NFC wins the Super Bowl.
Doc Sports is the way to follow him over on Twitter. As always, appreciate the time, my friend.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
There he goes. Have a good weekend as well. Hour two coming up next. Nancy Lieberman at 1:45. We'll talk Pelicans. Let's focus a little bit more on the wild card weekend. Hear your thoughts as well. Plus, Pels fans, if you want to chime in the conversation, in that NBC Sports article, very interesting if you read it. 20 teams more wins than the Pelicans, and Gail Benson in an interview with Larry Holder of The Athletic says, you know, they just need more time. Need to be patient. Your thoughts on that? What was that, Jay?
I need time,
too. You need time, too.
Yeah.
Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Pulling muscles from a shell.